Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyond Ananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Uprising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hi there, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the darkened corridors of power, and we shine a light ahead of us on the path to where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right front and center, to face the music and dance together, to address problems instead of defending positions. We have another purpose too, and that is to provide context at a time when the content can be contradictory, confusing, and overwhelming. At a time when being in the here and now can feel quite challenging, perhaps being in the there and then will offer us some perspective. On this week's Wiki Politiki, we take a detour to look at the long, 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 long view. How long? Lifetimes, eons, beyond time and beyond what you or I might call reality. Our guest this week is Stephen Poplin. He's worn many hats: political philosopher, astrologer, transpersonal therapist. And while working as a hypnotic transpersonal therapist, doing hypnotic regressions with his clients, he uncovered not just a world of past lives, but of life between lives. Following in the footsteps of his mentor, hypnotherapist Michael Newton, Stephen interviewed thousands of people while they were in deep trance and heard remarkable past life stories that shed light on their present life issues. He has a book called Inner Journeys, Cosmic Sojourns that is, I can tell you from personal reading, a fascinating chronicle of these stories. So, what in the world has this to do with Wiki Politiki? Well, in Stephen's words, it's a chance to, quote, step back and view the big picture and check out the cosmic map, unquote. If you accept the possibility of reincarnation, and of course the Swami says, well, if you don't believe in reincarnation this lifetime, you will next lifetime. What it means is that over many lifetimes, we've been nearly everywhere and seen nearly everything. We've been men, we've been women, we've been many races and religions. We have done unto just as surely as it has been done unto us. So Stephen is a lifelong learner. He has attended he attended 6 universities in 3 countries, earning degrees in philosophy and humanities. His graduate work was about intercultural studies, utopian literature, and comparative religion. He also studied drama therapy and psychodrama, history, and civilization. He moved to Virginia Beach, Virginia to study the Edgar Cayce readings, where he gave talks at the Association for Research and Enlightenment, the Edgar Cayce Institute, and saw patients and taught courses at the Center for Integrative Medicine, a part of George Washington University Medical Center in Washington, D.C. He also trained with Dr. Michael Newton, and he is former international director of the Michael Newton Institute for Life Between Lives Hypnotherapy. He currently lives in Ames, Iowa, and travels frequently to Europe. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
Good. Well, you know, it might be a bit of a stretch talking about reincarnation on a show about politics. In your words, how can looking at past lives and between lives give us political perspective in these very strange times?
Yes, yes. Definitely lots of food for thought. Thanks for that really great introduction, by the way. I like your slant on things, as well as your use of illusion and illusion. You know that, of course, I'm a hypnotherapist, and so I take a look not only at what's going on in the world from a, let's say, a larger perspective, having done past life regressions and this in-between life sessions for more than 30 years. And so I must say that I take a rather different view on things. For instance, when people start really getting involved with, oh my goodness, what is going on today? Did you hear what was on the news? And then, of course, with a larger perspective, looking at things historically, we go, well, there is nothing new under the sun. And not only that, but when I get into the past life regressions, and having done, as you say, thousands of sessions with people tranced out, going into a hypnotic state so that I can talk, I can communicate with not only these individual souls having lifetimes after lifetimes, but oftentimes they're also connected with very high beings, their spiritual guides, wiser souls, sometimes called the elders or council. And so every now and then I come across some really awesome wisdom. And this has, of course, helped me to kind of get out of a funk every now and then, because sometimes truly with, especially what's going on in the USA in the last couple of years, I can get a little bit down, as you can imagine.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You've had your own interest in politics since I met you, probably in the early 2000s when we first met. You had just published a political book under the pseudonym Stephen Payne, as in Tom Payne. So tell us about that journey and what that was all about.
Yes. I was looking again as a hypnotist at our recent political dynamics, and then I wrote that book, Smoke and Mirrors, about the George W. Bush regime. And I came to an interesting conclusion that the O.J. Simpson trial led to George Bush as the selected president of the United States.
And that's interesting.
There's a couple of years in between those two different things. But the American public during the 90s was, first of all, again, kind of like slammed in the face of this unjust situation, actually a carnival, as you recall, of the O.J. Simpson trial. And weeks goes by, and many millions of Americans were riveted to the shenanigans, the stories, the crazy things going on during that trial. And at the same time, so many people had ethnic perspectives on who was guilty or who was not. It was really quite amazing that, you know, a lot of African Americans were really rooting for O.J. to get off, while it seemed like a lot of whites and Caucasians were wanting him to get his just rewards. And so it was the country again divided on this particular thing. But the key point was that even though everybody got riled up, everybody got into the trial, at the end of it, it was a big surprise to a lot of people that O.J. got away with it. And so there was a sense to many, many people that as much as they had their own opinion, as much as they were sharing their ideas about what was going on with that particular trial, it did not matter because it was out of their hands. And a lot of people, whether they thought it was just or not just, it was just happening. And then a few years later, 2000 came, then we had the election of George Bush against Al Gore. And as you know, Al Gore won the general election by, I think, about 500,000 votes, as I recall. And but then the Supreme Court got involved with this. And again, the American public was in another interesting, enthralling, aggravating perspective of watching another justice situation where court judges again made up their own mind about if we're going to be counting these votes or not. And then many people were saying at the time, right after that, that the, you know, George W. Bush was selected, not elected, by the Supreme Court in that judgment there. Again, the American public, very similar to O.J. Simpson trial, were kind of passively looking disappointingly at the results. But again, this sense of we have no power, it's not up to us, what can we do anyway? We can wring our hands. And not only was that then a political, a judicial thing that kind of took every individual notion about right or wrong and just said, well, whatever you think, it doesn't matter because this is what's going to happen. And now I look at this as a hypnotherapist and looking at mass hypnosis and how the authority figures, and let's take a look at presidents as well as Supreme Court justices and so forth. They may not know more than you, but like George Orwell would have pointed towards, it doesn't matter, you know, Big Brother is going to be in charge. You just better mind your own P's and Q's and go along with the system.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I never put the OJ thing together with that, but again, these little slams, these little diminishments of what we imagine to be justice, and you get into the habit then of expecting that injustice will be done. Is that what you're saying?
That's it. As well as this whole thing about mass hypnosis, that whether that be those slogans that we hear time and time again, as well as having these authority figures in the cases that I just mentioned, you know, judges and Supreme Court judges are making the judgment calls, and we just have to go along with it. And that's like Big Daddy. It's like Big Brother. We are just have to follow along whether we like things or not.
You know, I always consider a Big Brother moment something that happened 1946 or 1947 when we renamed Department of War Department of Defense as kind of an Orwellian move to kind of pretend that we were actually defending ourselves when essentially the American Empire was suppressing and making war on a lot of people out there, like in Guatemala, in Iran, later on in Chile, who had wanted to establish more power for the people, and that went afoul of our economic interests, or the economic interests of corporations. So when you think about mass hypnosis, how do you hold the 9/11 attacks? Do you see that as a am I leading the witness there? Is there some relationship between mass hypnosis and what happened after 9/11?
Well, I mean, I go on in that book on Smoke and Mirrors about not only George Bush becoming president, you know, selected by the Supreme Court, but also his push towards the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Of course, he used the 9/11 thing as his justification for going into these wars, where when anybody would take a look at just the nationalities of those who committed these attacks against the Twin Towers, they were mostly Saudi Arabians, but the bin Laden family, as you probably know yourself, they were spirited out within, I think, 48 hours, you know, the various family members in the United States, when all of the rest of the international travel had been shut down immediately afterwards, but the bin Laden family had taken off to their own safety. And of course, then the powers that be, and in this case, it was George W. Bush and his friends, were telling us that they were slanting the news, again, hypnotically, you know, day after day with these images verbally describing, you know, that mushroom cloud, as well as so many other PR types of moves, very much slanting the news and using those sound bites to get people to sign up on these unjust wars that really, really had nothing to do or very little to do with the 9/11 attack itself, except as you just described, there's a lot of blowback from American policy interventions all over the world. And so it's, you know, one can say, how many times have we bombed other nations? And then when we are bombed, 9/11, then there's this, you know, tremendous outrage without taking again into fact our own interventions in many, many other countries and their policies. And again, to the hypnotic perspective, all of that is, you know, set in particular ways so that, you know, we as a nation are justified because we are defending freedom. We are defending democracy around the world.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting. I remember a moment in 2003, right after we had attacked Iraq at that point. And I was at a business conference, and one of my associates, who I like very much, who is a Republican, he said that he was going along with the war. He was reluctant about it, but he was going along with it because of Colin Powell. He trusted Colin Powell, and then that was probably one of the great betrayals. So one of the, Colin Powell essentially saying that there were weapons of mass destruction, et cetera, and later it was proven that there weren't. So sometimes the hypnosis is more subtle, and sometimes it's a blatant misstatement, which I think we used to call those lies back in the old days.
Yeah.
You call them lies. And anyway, we're going to take a very short break. When we get back, let's talk a little bit about how you got into this hypnotherapy and how the past life regressions came along. This is Steve Behrman. I'm on WikiPolitiki with my guest, Stephen Poplin. We'll be back after these messages.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Okay, we're back on WikiPolitiki with my guest Stephen Poplin. We're talking about life between life, life before life, life after life, and past lives. Tell us a little bit about how you became interested in this work and how you got started in hypnotherapy, and then how did the past life thing emerge?
Yes, yes. You know, as a contrast to a lot of the perspectives that could get one aggravated with politics and what's going on, as well as that feeling of helplessness, when I get involved with helping my clients and moving past worries, phobias, anxieties, and things like that, getting also people in touch with that inspiration, that soul self, so that they get these, you know, aha understandings of, oh, this is why that happened, or this is a karmic situation. And they then get the big picture. And then not only they, my clients, but also I can kind of also step back and take a look at politics and say, not only this too shall pass, but there's probably also a reason for various things. Now, my own journey began around age 21 when I had a spontaneous mystical experience. And I suddenly found that as I was walking in Denver in a park, suddenly all of the leaves were kind of glowing effervescent, and the grass also kind of vibrating in another interesting, unusual way. And I got this wave of peace, understanding, a greater perspective, and a growing curiosity about what I thought was true may not necessarily be the whole picture. And so what else is going on? And from there, that led me into understanding more about life, philosophy, perspectives, and spirituality. And then in that whole curious path, one of the doors that opened up was reincarnation. And just with the simple curious idea, have we lived before? Have I lived before? And if I did, what did I do? What did I learn? What happened? And then from there, that then becomes Stephen Poplin. Who am I? What is my mission? What am I doing here? And so then I just got a session with a past life regressionist, had my own past life recollections, saw that I had been a monk in several lives, and that kind of explained kind of my studious side, as well as more contemplative, as well as kind of a I'm sick and tired of these old biblical stories kind of tendency that really didn't come from my own upbringing. But as I got more and more into my, let's say, new spiritual philosophical worldview, then I saw that, wow, these old ideas, again, as from a hypnotherapeutic perspective, inculcated, indoctrinated, taught, you know, by rote and so forth, so that everybody seems to be getting very excited with their own particular brand of religion, and then not being able to see the big picture again because they're, I'll call it, brainwashed.
Mm-hmm. Now in your something I read of yours, you cited Ian Stevenson. Did you ever meet Ian Stevenson? Did you work with him? I know you were in Virginia, at Virginia Beach.
Yes. I wish I had met him. I did not, but I was very fascinated with his work. And as you probably know, he was at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. And I was, yes, in Virginia Beach for quite a few years. I did read his books, however, and I was very impressed with how he, as a, you know, classic professor, scientist, wanting to really do a thorough job of research, he focused upon, of course, young people, you know, children who had spontaneous recollections, or they would tell stories about being in other lives, other bodies, other families, and so forth. And then he went around the world and collected many stories of children who had remembered their past lives.
You know, I found out about this in 1979. I was teaching a creative writing course at the University of Michigan, and one of my students was Bruce Grayson, who was the emergency room psychiatrist at University Hospital. And he had done his residency at the University of Virginia Department of Psychiatry and studied with Ian Stevenson and, in fact, worked with him in taking children who remembered past lives back to the places where they remembered being and having numerous circumstances where the kids would be able to identify places that they wouldn't otherwise know. This person lived here, that person lived there. And then when Stevenson did his first longitudinal study, it was a woman who was from Montreal. She remembered being a woman who died young as a young woman in France. And when she became an adult, the one who remembered the life, when Ian Stevenson looked at her picture, she was a spitting image of the woman who she said she was back 30 or 40 years prior. So that launched an entire the work of Walter Simkew, perhaps you know him, with a whole bunch of people with photos of who they might have been in past lives, confirmed by Kevin Ryerson, the psychic. So for what that's worth. Did you have any initial skepticism about reincarnation, and how have you resolved that? Since you can't really prove it, right?
Indeed, you know, on some levels, really, you can't prove it. It's more of a sense of an inner knowing, a knowing that this seems true, seems fair, as well as the cause and effect dynamic. You know, if people have certain tendencies or phobias or particular issues, and then not really knowing in our present life where did that come from, but it makes sense or it comes directly from a past life. And then you say, oh, okay, good, cause and effect. I'm afraid of deep water because I drowned in the 1700s. And so that's where that came from. And sometimes, again, on the therapeutic side, just by recalling what happened might be enough to release the fear or phobia. But sometimes there's also this sense of we've got some baggage, and one can really even visualize, you know, an old attaché case or something that you're schlepping along that's pulling you down and dragging you into old brooding thought patterns or negativity or unconscious anxieties and fears. And a good hypnotherapist would identify that, again, aid that person to go into a past life to make that recollection, to find out the root cause of whatever issue it happens to be. And then from there, one can say, okay, thank you for finding that. We now have you on the other side of the curtain. And by that, I mean, after that life is over, the person leaves the body, the soul is freed. Oftentimes, then the soul goes into the soul family in heaven, as it were, or in the spiritual realm, and they're meeting with other family members or spiritual friends and things like that. And then one can get a larger perspective. What was learned in that past life? Why did someone suffer? And so forth. And then, very helpful for our therapy today, can that past life persona please help release that old issue so that my present person right here in front of me, my client, can then be relieved of those old worries, negativities, and fears. And so often there is of course I will do that. Yes, I would be very glad to help my future self to be free of these old emotions, these old worries that I had in a past life. So it's a wonderful opportunity, I find, again and again, to help people to identify some things that were just beyond the understanding, and then to release it so that one can have a better life today.
You know, the people I've spoken with who do family constellation therapy, which also is kind of woo-woo because you're actually going back in the past to make some changes. But what they found is that when a pattern is identified as a pattern of somebody in your ancestry, once the pattern is identified, there's no need to continue the pattern in present life, and the pattern extinguishes often. So you find that as well with past lives?
I do. Yeah. In fact, we not only have the family constellations in a past life, you know, let's say someone was, let's say, born Native American in the times when the whites came and conquered their lands. And from that, there is the perspectives from the pain and loss and suffering from that life. But then also in the spiritual realm, meeting our soul groups, they too can be in a family constellation. And then we come together with, let's say, like this group agreement to be born in our present lives. And again, we find ourselves in yet another family constellation. And we play these different roles, sometimes being their nurturer, the male or the female, the person who's going to set the roles, make things come into order, or maybe the person who just says, I am out of here, I've had enough of this crap. So we all play these many different roles over many different times. You mentioned before also this thing about where we get certain dynamics from, and whether that be from Ian Stevenson and looking at those past lives of children, but also the lives between lives can shed light on the bigger picture. And this makes me also kind of reconsider or even back off from my personal frustrations with modern politics, because there has been so many dynamics and situations and similarities in past times. And so, yes, we have been here before. There have been these rogues. There have been these tyrants. There's been, you know, Ivan the Terrible of Russia. There's been dictators. Well, there's been so many things in the past. And I come across variations of that in my clients. And then from that, number one, we say, okay, well, as bad as it is, it has been really quite bad in the past. So in comparison, perhaps things are indeed a bit better than they were. You know, for instance, here we are playing with our techno toys, hundreds and hundreds of miles from each other, using modern equipment and digitally sharing that in our nice warm rooms with electronics and so forth. So looking at the larger picture, things are indeed better, even though we can still be frustrated.
Do you ever connect up with quote-unquote future lives? You know, since time seems to be a construct of our mind, does that ever happen?
Yes, it did. In fact, while I was in Virginia Beach, and I was very attracted to the Edgar Cayce wisdom while I was there, that's called progressions as compared mm-hmm. with regressions, looking mm-hmm. into the future. And I did a couple of those in the 80s, helping people to, again, take a look at, you know, where they may be, you know, 200 years from now. But then at the end of it, you know, we could say, well, that was very interesting, but what was done or what was proven or what can you say, except maybe, you know, it was a blast for someone's ego. But I said, okay, that's not enough. So I started doing these progressions just a few months into the future, 6 months from now, 1 year from now. And I did several of those for people. And then they, again, were able to talk about what's going to happen, where they're living. They got this new job and so forth. But we could scientifically prove it, you know, in real life situations. And I found that things was not necessarily true. These things did not come to pass. And so it was kind of a failed experiment. And yet I found that, okay, if you can't even predict what's going to happen, you know, 6 months from now or a year from now, then these progressions are not really very useful. Recognizing that one of the hidden dynamics connected to that is we have free will, and everybody else around us have also free will. And so there are a million different decision points between now and 1 year from now, not only from ourselves individually, but from our milieu, from our community, from our nation. And really, how do you, you know, predict something like that? So basically, I gave up on progressions and focused again upon those past lives.
Well, you know, somebody once asked the Swami if we create our own reality. He says, well, we used to, but now it's mostly made in China. So, you know, so I think that there's a lot of things out there, a lot of variables, of course. And I like the idea of being in a universe of it's not written. It's not written. We are creating it by the moment based on our decisions. And obviously, the decisions that we made in our past lives, we can now reflect upon. A lot of people who've had, quote unquote, near-death experiences or have been regressed to this between-life state talk about kind of a life review. You mentioned the soul groups. Of course, I always think of the Temptations, but that's just me. But I got sunshine. You know, here it is. But that's my favorite soul group. But say, we got another minute before the break. So say a little bit about what is it like? Is there such a thing as a life review, and what is that like?
Yeah, that's actually a very high-minded place, a very spiritual place. I often have a box of Kleenex right next to my trance couch, and because the tears start flowing, because one is really in a place of high wisdom, a lot of love, a lot of understanding, and a feeling like, wow, there is a greater picture, there is a larger plan. And so in this high-level spiritual perspective, the soul, always wanting to learn more, is there making those plans for the life to come and making those plans with their own soul group, because we are incarnated with, you know, a group of souls playing, again, different roles. This is where the psychodrama comes in. And then based on what is learned and the past karma lessons, not only for self, but for other people within your own family group, then a couple of different possibilities comes up about where would you like to be born, what needs to be done. You have to burn off some karma, of course, and so what shall be those lessons, whether you like them or not, because you have been a very bad boy in a past life and you got to burn that off. And so with that, not only do we get a picture of what is going to happen, for instance, being born in California in the 1950s, and this is going to be your extended family, and et cetera, that's going to be the learning ground from which we will, again, express ourselves. And that is seen intuitively before we were born in this wonderful time before we're born. And not only that, but we're oftentimes given 2, 3, 4 different options of where would you like to be born. I mentioned that in my book, my first book, The Inner Journeys, Cosmic Sojourns, where I had 3 different choices. And one was a Swedish professor. And I saw myself sitting by the fire with a red a sweater and being quite thoughtful and philosophical. The other option was going to be an Italian anarchist, and he was certainly raising Cain. And then the third option was Stephen Poplin in the United States, but from a military family that traveled a lot. And so I had many, many different homes. And that was the one, obviously, that I chose because that was going to be giving me really the best of things that would nurture this combination of spirituality, thoughtfulness, as well as a political interest.
Well, good. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with our final segment with Stephen Poplin, talking about past lives, between lives, and our current quote-unquote situation. Steve Behrman, WikiPolitiki. We'll be back very soon.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
The Shift Network, presenting transformative programs and events to help you awaken to your full potential, so that together we can build the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Our classes support you in finding and cultivating your gifts and in bringing those gifts to the world to create tangible change and connect us as global citizens. Go to theshiftnetwork.com or follow the link on the Wiki Politiki sponsors page.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Steve Behrman, I'm back with our guest Stephen Poplin. Today we're talking about transpersonal psychology, hypnotic regression, past lives, and between lives. And just to change the topic a little bit, the last time we spent face-to-face was Easter 2016, and you're also an astrologer. And I remember sitting around at Good Earth Restaurant in Fairfax, California. You told us something we didn't want to hear. You said that all things at this point in Easter of 2016 pointed to a Donald Trump victory in the fall, and you were right. Any reflections on that prediction, why it came about, and what the future might hold for Donald Trump and the USA?
Well, this takes us also back to 9/11. And I've been using this astrology time of the United States, born on the 4th of July. So it's a Cancer country. And I've been using this 2:19 p.m. time in Philadelphia for many years, and I find that it works really quite well. So doing the calculations, right there in September 2001, the progressed midheaven went right into Aries. And basically, this can only happen once every 360 years. So a very rare situation, and it happened to be that particular month. And this was Aries, and so officially kind of like the beginning of this particular nation's, this phase of this nation, of a fire energy. And with anybody who has a perspective on astrology, the elements and the charts and the signs begin with Aries, goes around all of the 12 signs of the zodiac, ending with Pisces. And so here we had that time there where the fire energy of Aries began right there. And within a short amount of time, of course, we were attacked. And then we were attacking two different other nations. We just talked about that, Afghanistan and Iraq. And so this fire energy, not only with the Aries, but then just in the last 2 years, 3 years, there's been some other Leo energy dynamics that has come in. So any politician right now with a lot of fire was going to be more prominent. And of course, Donald Trump, he's got Leo rising with Mars and Leo right conjunct his ascendant. And that's when one can say one's ego gets out of hand and gets really thinks quite well of himself to the point of narcissism. And so the fire energy was really there since George Bush and George W. Bush, and then on into the 2016 elections. So that will continue, but now things get a little bit more sinister because an even slower planet going around the zodiac is Pluto, and Pluto takes, I think, 260 some odd years to go around that very same zodiac. The U.S., born 1776, has Pluto in Capricorn in the third house. And by the way, this is, you know, the propaganda house, mm-hmm. especially with Pluto into it, you know, and that is really quite obvious if you take a look at, you know, how America wishes to proclaim itself. And so Pluto is now in Capricorn again. And guess what? It was in Capricorn at the beginning, I think it was January 2008. And what happened in 2008 was that we had the most recent big recession, and having the bailout, whereas the American government, you know, basically let off the hook a bunch of bankers and the stockbrokers and so forth who had messed things up to a great degree. But astrologically, you say, oh, it's really quite perfect. And there's always this lesson. Okay, Pluto, the god of the underworld, looking at nefarious types of ideas and even mobsters, which is called the underworld. Okay, mm-hmm. all of that's very Plutonian, and it goes into Capricorn, which is the sign of government, and that's been since 2008, and so we have been having to really, really watch out how we have been moving really steadily for a long time, but now it's pretty much a fixture that we have an oligarchy. This is a plutocracy. The rich are pretty much in charge. They are in control. And now this very slow-moving Pluto will go back to where it was at the inception of this country in 2022. Hmm. Prior to that point in 2020, heavy Saturn, which rules Capricorn, is going to be conjuncting this Pluto in Capricorn in 2020. And so we have got some pretty heavy planets pointing towards backroom deals, graft, scandals, mafia-oriented sorts of things, as well as what are we going to do to get our lawyers to get you to stop telling the truth. So all of these different things are happening. And so we are really up against a national crisis coming up. And back to the big picture spiritually, I believe someone like George W. Bush, as well as Donald Trump, are kind of sent to us from God. One could say as a scourge.
Who needs a plague when you got Trump? Yes, I got it.
Exactly. And there will be some gnashing of teeth.
Yeah.
So these are kind
I've been doing some tooth hard. We've been doing tooth gnashing here. We have a little tooth gnashing group. We're set around the
a lot of tooth gnashing, exactly. Pulling of hair, and can't even believe what kind of stories are coming out through the airwaves weekly. So these people were kind of like set up so that we collectively, in this particular nation, every nation has its own lessons and its own cycles, but we are really taking a look at what was set up here in this nation in 1776 when our great forefathers said, you know, I guess we're just going to have to be okay with slavery.
Right. Karma.
Yeah. 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 And so here we have, the karma. And we talk about even wage slaves yet today. So we still have slavery in it in various forms. It has been dressed up in different costumes, but it's still, you know, slavery. And so then Pluto comes back and revisits this really unpleasant situation, this compromise, as they might have said back then. But then we have to really look at it in the eye. So Trump is playing his role. He is making things so ridiculous. He's such a caricature that we have to really ask ourselves, my goodness, where are we going collectively? What are we going to do about it? And as you probably know, Steve, you're so political, that we have such apathy in this country. I mean, what's the percentage of people who actually don't vote and who have never voted?
Well, you know, I mean, probably more than all, it's certainly, you know, 40-50% who don't vote.
Yeah.
And, you know, and none of the above has won many of the last elections because that's been our choice. We want nobody for president. And I think that the apathy has been carefully cultivated by what you started the whole program with, talking about both the OJ and the Supreme Court decision to make George Bush president, both of those being rather arbitrary forms of injustice that people really had very little to do with. And so after a while, you kind of get the hint, what I do at the voting booth every 2 years makes no difference. So why should I bother?
Exactly. And I think that things have gotten so bad now that even a lot of those apathetic people, and yes, it's between 40-50% of people that, you know, could vote but don't vote and haven't voted in decades. But finally, maybe it could get such a serious dilemma here that they might have to rethink. And here we go back to not only the individual, but again, the community as well as the national will. And one can say we do have our willpower, we do make our decisions, we can stand up and do the right thing, and individuals are constantly doing that, and thank goodness for them. But collectively, can communities, can states, can nations also say, you know, wake up, make your positive choices, we're all in this together, we're living on this delicate and beautiful planet, and so let's make our choices. And I think someone like Trump comes up and says, it gets so ridiculous, a sociopath is in charge. And so people can finally say, you know, I guess I better do something.
I think that's exactly right. A lot of people slept through the various alarms, you know, and same wars went on under Obama as went on under Bush. The gap between rich and poor actually grew during the Obama years. And, you know, we had the nice face on empire, and now we have Trump, which I characterize as America's balloon karma payment, you know, come due. What you mentioned earlier, that in our inception, the injustice that unfortunately was a keystone of our, let's talk about wresting the lands from native peoples and then bringing other people over here as slaves, that there's a karmic comeuppance. And so I think that this is, you know, what you're saying is that I love the idea of Pluto and plutocracy. It's certainly, I went, wow, that's interesting. That certainly makes sense. We have a plutocracy when Pluto is in Capricorn. And so at this point, I think that this is clearly these individuals are sent as an awakening, as a teaching, as a way of burning off karma. Well, we've got a few minutes left. Anything else you want to add related to anything we talked about, or amazing things that have been discovered as you regressed people?
Yes, indeed. One last thing about the astrological perspective, because that also helps me to like step back from myself and whatever I have for my own opinions. I can say, well, here we have these, you know, planets, and one can do our calculations and, you know, in a detached manner say, oh, well, this is what's happening, whether we like it or not. I certainly didn't want Trump to become president, but the writing was on the wall, and he was pretty much, you know, the surprise candidate that was the perfect, you know, negative lesson for us. Mm-hmm. But in the next phase here, between 2020 and 2023, is indeed a crisis point for the United States, and it's either going to go one of two ways. The Plutonians are going to get together, and typically they are quite fond of dictators, because mm-hmm. they're going to say, you know, there's actually too many people voting, or there's too many people wanting to have their individual freedoms, and they're not going along with the plan that we have so carefully concocted in the last decade. And so I guess we better step in and really show what we're really about. And so that is, let's say, the big danger coming up relatively soon, unless, again, we're talking about total power, and it could go towards the underworld, but it could also be when all of the collective individuals say, you know, truly the power is with us. We have to make our choices in mass to take our government back. And that's the big lesson. And as much as, you know, you and I have been talking about politics and being aggravated for quite a few decades, it's really kind of coming to this point here where we're going to go one direction or the other.
Well, you know, the word crisis actually came as a surgery term from hundreds of years ago, and it meant that exact turning point where the patient either moves on toward recovery or moves down the road toward death. So here we are. We're talking about the unwritten, the unknown, the future. My guest, Stephen Poplin, he's the author of Inner Journeys, Cosmic Sojourns. And we will hold that the great uprising takes place and sheds light on all this darkness. Thank you so much, Stephen, for being our guest today on WikiPolitiki. This is Steve Behrman. Okay, and on our website, wikipolitiki.com, we have ways of reaching Stephen Poplin at his website. And on we go. So thank you so much. We'll be with you next week.